Hey, thanks for joining me today for CMDA Matters, a weekly podcast from the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and with the nonstop buzz about electing a president of the United States this week, I decided to invite our very own elected president of CMDA. Dr. Gloria Howerson is my guest this week. Dr. Howerson is a graduate of the Medical College of Wisconsin, where she also did her internship and OBGYN residency. After a long and distinguished career in Milwaukee as a professor of OBGYN with a focus on fertility, she left to refocus and finish well in the areas of service that at that time she felt God was calling her to. She now spends most of her professional time helping us with governance and future planning here at CMDA. Before that, she was heavily involved in teaching missionary doctors and fighting the battle against human trafficking through education, through leading short-term healthcare teams, and through establishing best practices for global impact in combating trafficking. She has been involved in CMDA for many years, whether on the Board of Trustees, heading up the Human Trafficking Commission. She's participated on our Ethics Committee, even back when it was a commission, the Continuing Medical and Dental Education Commission, and of course, her big passion, the Women Physicians in Christ, a ministry that she loves dearly. She enjoys cooking, biking, and spending time with her husband, Paul, who's a retired rheumatologist and also a longtime volunteer leader with us at CMDA. And then, of course, she cherishes time with her two children, and she has three grandchildren. I believe you will enjoy getting to hear Gloria's story and her deep passion to see the hope and healing of Jesus Christ brought to the world through Christians in healthcare like you and me. Well, I can't tell you what a privilege it is today for me to have with me on CMDA Matters the president of CMDA, in fact, only the third woman who's been president in the history of our nearly 90-year-old organization, Dr. Gloria Howerson, an OBGYN, who has been involved in more ministries of CMDA than you can possibly count. So welcome to the program today, Dr. Howerson.
Mike, it's always good to be with you.
Dr. Howerson became the president the weekend that I was commissioned as the CEO. So we have journeyed together. She as chairman of the board of CMDA and as president, and me as the new kid on the block, so to speak, after Dr. David Stevens. And we've had an interesting ride together, haven't we, in 2020?
Why, certainly unexpected.
Well, I want to have our listeners get to know a little bit about your background. Certainly, they just heard a brief bio and intro before the interview, but they need to understand that how many different ministries you've been involved in. And frankly, that's not because you started so early in your career with CMDA. I think you were introduced to CMDA through the commission that ministered to me as a medical missionary in Kenya, the Continuing Medical Dental Education Commission. So would you just kind of briefly tell us about how you got engaged, you and Paul, your husband Paul as a doc as well, how you got engaged with CMDA in the beginning?
I grew up in a Christian home, but I really wasn't born again until it was during my residency. So I certainly wasn't involved as a student in resident. In fact, I don't know if we had a chapter at the school. I wasn't aware of any. But after becoming a believer, I did get involved in a lot of Christian activities, and one was mission work and teaching because I was in academic medicine. And actually in the mid-90s, I was on a Christian mission trip to China, teaching at medical schools there. And one of my colleagues on the trip, who's become a dear sister in Christ, told me about CMDA. I'd not heard of it before. So I looked into it and I went to a national meeting. I learned about WBC, and that is such an amazing group for all the women out there listening, because a Christian woman physician is a unique breed, and there's not a lot of people that really get all your special issues, and this group really did. So I got involved with them, and then I had a connection with another woman physician, actually during my residency, who helped me decide about staying with academic medicine or going into full-time missions at that point. And I lost contact with her. It was Dr. Dorothy Barbo. She called me out of the blue, right when God was talking to me about leaving my practice to be available for more overseas mission work, and said she'd been praying for somebody who did reproductive medicine and a lot of gynecologic surgery to teach at CMDE, and I kept coming to her mind, and would I be available to do that? So we got very involved with CMDE. In fact, except for this year and one other year when the meeting was canceled, I've taught for 19 years at that. I just loved it. I loved CMDA and my involvement. I wanted to give back, and at that time, the Ethics Committee was a commission, and because there's so many difficult issues in reproductive medicine for Christians, I joined the Ethics Committee, and I actually wound up chairing the WIMD, which is now WPC, and chairing the CMDE Commission, and then serving on our board. And one board trip at the time, CMDA took the board to one of the GHO sites to have our board meeting and stay and work and minister for a week. So I very blindly went down on this trip to Nicaragua and just got hit between the eyes by God on how terrible the problem of human trafficking is in the world. And I got very involved with GHO. I had already started GHO trips for WPC. I wound up leading about 12 trips to human trafficking sites for GHO and got very involved with our TIP commission that Jeff Farrow started for working with trafficking. And I started teaching and publishing and writing curriculum and just got into a whole new area of my life that I had been not looking for at all, but God just placed in front of me through CMDA. So when I got asked about being president, I said, no, I really wasn't interested. I loved the ministries I were involved with. I felt it matched my gifting. I had a very full, busy life. I sure wasn't looking to add anything to my CV or anything like that. But God spoke very specifically to me that this was something that I should be available to do if I was called to do it. And I spoke to my husband because it would be changing direction and involvement with some other ministries for us. And his comment was, you know, God's asked you to do it. We want to be obedient to God with our lives, and it's what you should do. So here I am, a very winding path.
Let's talk about a couple of big, big issues that have been on the stage this year. First is COVID-19, and it's disrupted all kinds of meetings, including our national convention and our board meetings. We had an 11-hour marathon last month virtually. But recently, the Women Physician in Christ Commission, which you have been headed up on numerous occasions and are so invested in, you had a different kind of experience last month. We've learned a lot about how to do these sort of live events. So talk to us a little bit about your experience just a couple of weeks ago with Women Physicians in Christ getting together for their annual meeting.
Well, I think that they did an incredible job. And a lot of thanks for that goes to CMDA headquarters and the IT department and all the people that made this possible. But that is a meeting that is extremely relational. My best friends in life have come out of people I've gotten to know through WPC. And as we all know, that kind of thing is really hard to do virtually. I think we didn't move ahead with the national meeting because it was so close after the COVID thing started. And I think we all hoped this would be a more short-term issue. But WPC is really modeled to us how it can be done because it was done live. They had recorded plenary sessions and workshops, but we all got on together. We had very busy chat box. We had very busy breakout sessions, and we were able to feel really connected and involved. So it was extremely well done. I know it really ministered to me well. Patty and Lynn, our two co-chairs, did an amazing job. Deb McAleer putting it all together, our administrative assistant, and I know that it ministered to so many.
I've had feedback from a couple of single missionaries that I know around the world, and they participated, one in particular from Papua New Guinea, who knows you quite well. And what an additional bonus to be able to have international participants present. And our Vice President for Campus and Community Ministries introduced me, Bill Reichert, introduced me, Gloria, to a new word this past week, which is going to be maybe in the dictionary someday, phygital. So physical and digital, a hybrid, and that's probably where we're gonna be in the future, is in a phygital world where we're going to have meetings together, but some people are also going to be wanting to attend, whether it's because of risk for COVID or just because of travel difficulties. So it'll be interesting to see what this new COVID reality becomes, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, and we learned from it. One of the things WPC learned was how hungry people are for this, and people who can't take the time off from work and do the travel. We were planning to be in Southern California, which also was engulfed with wildfires at the time. We had a lot of people sign on online that wouldn't have been able to come. So I think that commission is going to be thinking about ways to increase availability to women.
Well, the other issue on the stage that we have been working together with has been the issue of racism and incredible amount of tension, protests and violence. And what is the appropriate, what can CMDA, what should CMDA do in response? Because we certainly are an organization that is not as diverse as we would like to be. And this discussion has been going on, certainly even before a 2018 task force put together a racism statement for the Board of Trustees. You had just joined, I believe, Gloria, when that came out. And so when all these things happened with the George Floyd death and with all of the protests and all that was going on, you felt compelled to do something. So let's talk a little bit about what you felt the right response from CMDA was.
I'd be happy to. And Mike, I'm glad you mentioned that this wasn't new for CMDA. We had been working on it in the past. We have a racism statement. CMDA had already planned a webinar on racism. So it's not like we were unaware, but this suddenly came to the forefront nationally and has continued to be in the forefront for us. And, I think when we really look at the biblical mandates on racism and understand how people of all colors have been created in the image of God, and all humans are unique and incalculably precious beings with dignity to Christ, we have to recognize that this is more than a skin problem. It's a sin problem, mm-hmm. and it's something that Christians should be involved with. If you then look at the fact that there's such healthcare disparities that have been recognized for people of color and that we are healthcare providers, it's a no-brainer. As Christian healthcare providers, we really needed to be more involved and we needed to be leading the way in reconciliation and trying to solve this problem. I think that we had to recognize that it's not enough for us to be not racist, that we actually have to be anti-racist, because you know how often it's been said that for evil to flourish, it only requires good men to do nothing. So we needed to step up our game and lead. And so there was a presidential appointed committee put together that's goes through me to the board. It's called the Red Committee, and or the, now the Red 2ED Committee, sort of like R2-D2 is how I think of it. It represents racism, reconciliation, equality, and diversity. And the long-term plan for this is we're lacking in equality in many areas. Another one I think of is gender. And this is a committee I expect to be active for a very long time within CMDA. But obviously, the main thing to start with right now is the racism issue being what it is.
Talk just a little bit about the makeup of the committee and what's happened since then. Certainly, the board has come up with a preliminary statement, a charge, if you will, a set of goals, objectives for the committee. And we will have an article that's coming out in the winter, Today's Christian Doctor, to explain more about the committee. We have certainly, we've been building upon and growing the website, cmda.org/racism, that also explains this committee. But let's just list a couple of goals that you have for the committee as we look forward.
Well, there's four goals that I gave to them as a charge for the committee. The first, we want them to guide the board and the membership toward a biblical response, both within the organization and the wider body of Christ as it pertains to the issues of racism and equality, and especially as they interact with healthcare. The second thing, we wanted to ensure that CMDA reflects the whole multicultural body of Christ, both within leadership and membership. So we need them to make recommendations that impact the demographics of our organization and how to make the organization more meet our goals of being more inclusive. The third thing is we want them to address health and healthcare disparities and deficiencies and inadequacies that exist because of racial issues. And lastly, we want them to be a resource for the board and CMDA members so that they can lead in healing within this country in this time of such social and political unrest as it pertains to racism and equality and diversity as we move ahead in this area. So those are the four charges that they have been working on. We have seven members on our committee, which really have a very diverse background and racial makeup. So I feel that we're well supported and represented by the different groups to speak into this issue for CMDA.
Well, Gloria, as we've been walking through this together for the past several months, and I've just, you know, it's one of those Psalm 139, verse 24 sort of issues. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And by the way, Lord, would you point out if there's a blind spot here that I have? And, you know, I've spent a number of years, as you know, serving in Africa and felt actually comfortable being the only white guy in a room or in meetings most of the time. But as I think back on my early practice when I was in Michigan and had two different offices, Gloria, divided between more of a white suburban area, a couple days a week, a surgery office, and then 2 days a week in inner city Benton Harbor and had all black patients, basically. And I'm just trying to examine the way that we did things at that time. And I'm sure that some of this exists today. And these are areas where I have a feeling the Red Committee can help us with. But, you know, I'd have many more no-shows in my office, in the Benton Harbor office, where I saw black patients twice a week. And honestly, I guess I was just wanting to get through my schedule. If there was a no-show, I'd say, well, that's a bummer. We'll have to move on, and maybe there'd be extra time, and I would read. But I have to be honest with you and with myself that I didn't pursue that much why they didn't show up. What difficulties did they face in getting to me as a consultant surgeon or in follow-up? I just kind of moved on with my day and didn't think about the ramifications or try to figure out necessarily. I left it up to the staff in the clinic, you know, to kind of do follow-up and stuff. But me, I just moved through my day. And I'm sure you'd agree, that's not exactly overt racism, but it's not helping to overcome healthcare disparity.
Well, I think that's the type of thing that we have to be looking at, Mike. If there's going to be equality of healthcare, we've got to recognize that the system is flawed because we as flawed people have made the system. And, you know, we have people that are chronically no-shows. We have people who are chronically late. And, you know, when I have a doctor's appointment, I get my car and I drive to the office. I don't think that I stopped and thought about how many buses does this patient need to take to get to the clinic, or what do they do when they don't have any childcare or there isn't a bus line right near where they live. For us, we have to educate ourselves and recognize that there are social and cultural differences that impact this, and that some of these are not even necessarily racial issues. They're social and economic issues. They're education issues. They're lack of healthy food issues. They're lack of good access to education issues. There's adverse childhood experiences that affect people. There's safe, stable, healthy housing issues that affect people. And we can't just judge and look at this person as bad and this person is of this race and therefore this is a problem. This is such a complex problem. And one of the first things we need to do, I think, is educate ourselves and look at the deeper societal issues that and the white privilege that we have that doesn't make us racist, but as you said, makes us not recognize the problem and deal with what we need to do. How do we work our offices? Do we have staff that are representative of the ethnic group that we're serving that can help be a bridge? Are we helping our organization? Do we have education for them? Are we making sure that the leadership reflects the racial and gender equality issues we're trying to work with? We've got a lot of work we need to do.
I could not agree more, Dr. Halvorsen. As I contrast the experience that I had with black patients on both sides of the pond, if you will, in some respects, I almost felt embarrassed the amount of respect and deference that I received over the years as a surgeon in Kenya, as a missionary. I felt like I got more deference than I deserved. And why? Because of the years and years of trust and reputation that physicians had in caring for that population. I would come back then to practice with my group in Michigan and would have the exact opposite and feel like, wow, I didn't deserve that rough treatment by that patient from inner city Benton Harbor. But the reality is the inverse was occurring there as well. There was a track record of interactions with the healthcare system and with maybe white physicians in that city and in that area. And I was bearing the brunt of a lack of trust and a lack of good relationships. So yeah, I had to take it because of the track record on both sides of the pond. And I think that's what we have to deal with here. You're right, it's complex. And it's going to take more than our efforts, but it will take our participation. Do you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when it comes to the issue of trust, Mike, I think we have to recognize that there's very good reasons that many white physicians don't have the level of trust here that they would like. And it's not got to do with us as individuals, but it has to do with a healthcare system that ran a Tuskegee Institute type of experiment in not treating black men for syphilis to follow the course, for forced sterilizations, for doing experimental surgery on women without anesthesia. There are many reasons. Henrietta Lacks, many reasons for the lack of trust. And I think we have to not take that personally. Mm-hmm. And we have to do the job to build rapport with our patients. It's not their job to build rapport with us. We've got to earn their trust. We have to earn the right to be able to really speak into their lives and to guide them so they get better healthcare outcomes. We've got to really be praying for wisdom and direction as we see our patients so that all of them have better healthcare, which is only going to help all of society.
Talk about your vision for how we're going to accomplish bringing hope and healing of Christ to the world.
Well, I think our strategic planning process right now is really very exciting. You know, most times 5-year strategic plans are done, the old 5-year strategic plan is tweaked a little bit. And we've had excellent strategic plans under Dave Stevens and Gene Rudd that were just perfect for the times we were in. But we're in a unique time right now with having you come in as a new CEO and the fact that medicine is really changing in so many ways. Our country is changing. Our world is changing. We have different generations coming into CMDA. And so the board felt it's a really good time not just to do another tweak and have an incremental change, but really have transformative change and envision the future of the organization so that we create our desired future. We don't let the future just mold and push us. So we've been working a year already, and we are continuing through our January meeting to work on just looking at everything, starting with our mission and vision statement, and how we can best position ourselves to serve our members, serve our society, serve our world, and be very influential place in God's kingdom, serving Him with our ministry.
Well, if I had to ask you the question, why does CMDA matter to you, Gloria Halverson? How would you, as we close this program, how would you answer that question?
I would say CMDA matters to me because we are a vital ministry in God's kingdom, and it's part of our call to reach the world. And CMDA matters to me because it has blessed me so personally with the depth of over 40 ministries to help meet the needs of our members in our society. So CMDA matters to me a lot, Mike.
Well, Dr. Gloria Halverson, thank you for joining me today on CMDA Matters, and you've been a huge blessing to me personally, to our staff, and as I've shared with you before, I'm so grateful that God had it planned in His providence that you would be the first president of CMDA when Dave Stevens handed the baton to me for the future. And God bless you. And Paul, I know that you're in transition to a new place after 40-some years in the same house. And so I'm going to let you go so you can go continue to pack and move.
Thank you, Mike. Blessings to you.
Well, when I first met Dr. Gloria Halverson nearly 25 years ago, just on the outskirts of Nairobi in Kenya, she was giving some great lectures to us in gynecology. Neither one of us would have had any idea as we talked that afternoon for the first time that we would both be in these current positions in which we serve at CMDA. Well, you heard Gloria and I talking about examining, as Christian healthcare professionals, racial healthcare and health outcome disparities. If you'd like to take a deeper dive on this subject of racial disparities in healthcare, would you just go to our webpage that we've developed over the past several months? Go to cmda.org/racism for more information. I would also like to point out a recent blog on our web from October 8th, written by Dr. Robert Cranston, who has served on our ethics committee. And Dr. Cranston entitled his blog, "Brief Reflections on My Recent Education in American Racism." It's an excellent short article. He talks about pursuing a new friendship with a colleague in the hospital who's a neurosurgeon. Also points out several references that have helped him in his own journey since hearing a podcast several months ago with Dr. Omari Hodge, who's the current chair of our Racism and Reconciliation, Equality and Diversity Committee, during Black History Month. You'll find Dr. Cranston's article there on The Point blog. Just go to cmda.org/thepoint. You know, I had the privilege of hearing civil rights activist and pastor Dr. John Perkins a couple of years ago right here in Bristol at King University as the school celebrated Black History Month. Dr. Perkins, who's now 90 years old, he looked over the pews in that church where we were meeting, packed with so many white and black listeners alike. And I'll never forget seeing the tears in his eyes and a big smile. And then he told us, "Seeing all of you here tonight is a wonderful dream come true for me. I plead with you all to stay passionate for reconciliation. It's all about passion for reconciliation, friends." Dr. Perkins is an author of many best-selling books, including the book One Blood. And he tells us that he finds hope in young people whom he's met all across our nation who are hard at work, bringing about reconciliation in God's name and offering acceptance to all. Another book is entitled Dream With Me, and it's his look back at a life devoted to seeking justice for all of God's people, as well as a look forward to what he sees as a potentially historic breakthrough for people of every race. You can purchase a copy of this excellent resource. Just go to cmda.org/store or call us at 888-230-2637 and we'll get a copy in the mail to you right away. If you're looking for an opportunity to be sharpened by like-minded believers while showcasing your research project, please join us for the annual VIE poster session at the CMDA National Convention this next year, Ridgecrest, North Carolina, April 29th through May 2nd. Any pre-healthcare student, medical student, resident, fellow or faculty member in the healthcare field is eligible to participate. We are especially looking for presentations in the areas of spirituality, ethics, education, biotechnology, biomedical science, and wow, the list is actually quite long of possibilities that you could research. It is free to submit your project, but you must do it by November 30th, and that's why I'm emphasizing it on the program today. You can find out more information about the VIE poster section at cmda.org/VIE. Please don't forget about the 2020 Global Missions Health Conference being held November 13th and the 14th. This is actually the 25th anniversary of GMHC, and it has gone virtual this year in the midst of the pandemic. Mr. Will Rogers and his team at Southeast Christian Church have worked tirelessly over the last several months to provide a live virtual experience you will not want to miss. At CMDA, we're excited about the variety of speakers, a wide range of exhibiting organizations, and some special new events. We can't wait to see you online, so go and register at cmda.org/events. As I close, one of the overarching themes of Dr. Luke in his gospel is that the great physician cared for the marginalized. He cared for the outcasts. In Luke chapter 10, the parable of the good neighbor, a Samaritan whom the Jews despised, he served as Christ's role model for reaching across an ethnic divide to provide trauma care. As Christian healthcare professionals, breaching ethnic healthcare barriers in Jesus' name is of the utmost importance. It must matter to you and me. And so what matters to Christians in healthcare matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening today. I hope you'll join me again next week. Dr. Jeff Barrows and I talk with a fascinating guest, Dr. Leonard Sachs. We'll be talking about sex and gender and how the transgender movement has been harmful for children and youth. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.